This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, Arcade Fire, everything now. This is the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin. And for our next story, starting from next year, streaming in all public schools will be no more. I cannot overstate how pleased I am to hear this.
I am as well. So Director of Education, Dr. Amin Senin, said the directive is an attempt to reduce the achievement gap between school children. The National Union of Teaching Professionals, NUTP, welcomed the move, saying that streaming classes, according to academic achievements, did not promote unity and integration in schools.
So NUTP President Kamaruzzaman Abdul Razak said, at the primary school level, much of the syllabus involves group work, and if the pupils mix around, then moral values can be fostered. Many parents are also welcoming the move. The Malaysian Insight cites several parents with children in traditionally quote-unquote weak classes in schools, and they believe that this will give the kids a boost in confidence and a more level playing field.
One mother said that if you're in a weak class, it's as if there's discrimination. If you enter a mixed class, I'm certain it will be a healthier environment.
So we've been talking about this for quite some time now. And the last time we spoke about it, I think there was a really healthy conversation that happened. But everybody just agreed that they wanted to do away with streaming, and that the idea that smart kids go into sciences and the kids who don't perform as well academically go into arts and commerce, that just creates a completely false dichotomy.
And also the fact that how resources are divvied up depending on the streams, that also disturbed me. And in my experience, I saw, I guess, the less good teachers were given to the quote-unquote weaker classes, and the better teachers went to the higher classes. And that shouldn't be the case, right? If anything, it should be in reverse.
No, that's the thing. And so the idea that creating a more mixed class of students will come with its benefits, I think, is just, it's just common sense. I'm so glad to see common sense being practiced. Let us know how you feel. Streaming will no longer be a part of public schools next year. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 with your thoughts. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, earlier we were speaking about demonstrations in reference to Tun Mahathir's comment that demonstrations can never topple a democratically elected government. We asked you for your thoughts. Are demonstrations an important part of democracy? Tsai Yang says, I suppose if you take the PM statement at face value, he's right. The act of demonstration in itself does not topple governments, but it certainly sparks discussions, especially discussions surrounding the demonstration. It's the crux of democracy, discussions to solidify or weaken the ideas that you keep in your head, which I think is an excellent point.
We also have a message from Thevin saying there are so many demonstrations over the years that led to successful revolutions. The recent protests in Armenia, the removal of Ferdinand Marcos in Philippines, the fall of Milosevic in Serbia are just some examples all over the world.
We also have a tweet from Sam and Tom Wolf who says, don't forget, Hitler was also democratically elected. I didn't expect us to bring Hitler into this conversation, but okay. Why wouldn't demonstrations be appropriate if the end justifies the means? Let us know. We are talking about, well, just all sorts of things earlier, James Bond being an alcoholic among them. But right now, demonstrations and democracy, what role do they play? And also, no more streaming in public schools. Let us know how you feel. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We are going to be speaking with Chan Sun Sing, the Program Director of Teach for Malaysia, right after this. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
This is the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We are talking about how streaming is no longer going to be a part of public schools starting next year, which means that there's no longer going to be that separation in terms of academic performance. Let us know how you feel about this. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we're crossing over now to Chan Sun Sing, who is the Program Director of Teach for Malaysia. Sun Sing, thanks for joining us. Let's start with this. Why did streaming start in the first place in our public schools? What was the rationale?
Yeah, well, I guess before answering that question, I'd just say that Teach for Malaysia supports the move to eliminate streaming. And I think that we would encourage the MOE to go the next level and eliminate streaming by science and the art stream at upper secondary. And we should allow students to basically pick whatever subjects they want. And a student shouldn't need to pass or get an A in science to be able to do science. The only requirement they should need to do science or any other subject is really a desire to do that. So in terms of the rationale for streaming in public schools, I think it really stems from this deep-seated, I guess, mindset that we've had as a society around education, with exam grades being the most important outcome of education, and basically then a focus on how do we drive student examination results up. And so it is easier for teachers to teach students of a similar ability, and therefore that then makes sense. If you believe that exams are the most important outcomes, then it does make sense to stream kids according to their examination results.
And how did it affect the quality of teaching? You mentioned before that streaming, of course, made things easier for teachers to cater to students if they were learning on the same sort of level.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think most teachers will recognize, or all teachers will recognize, that it is easier, like I said, to teach classes of similar ability students. And the main reason being that you don't have to plan that much. You don't have to differentiate your planning, and you're not thinking about multiple, as many variables if you know that your students are at a similar ability level. And so I think that while there will definitely be teachers who would advocate for eliminating of the streaming system, I think that there will be many teachers who have operated in that way their whole life and don't have a concept or an understanding of how to operate effectively without the streaming system. So I think many teachers will potentially struggle with this change. I think that a typical thing that you see in schools is that classes that are ranked, the highest ranked classes, typically tend to be assigned the teachers who either have more experience or are perceived to be more effective at teaching the subject. So you can then see a huge difference, I guess, in terms of the effort and the energy that's placed on the classes that are ranked the highest performing classes. And it will be really common to see classes that are ranked the lowest performing classes for teachers to not put in as much effort. Obviously, that's not true for every teacher, but it is a common thing to see. And you will even see higher teacher absenteeism, for example, in classes that are ranked lower.
So you've had teaching experience yourself. Was it clear to you how streaming affected the grades or behavior, for that matter, of students?
Yeah, absolutely. It is very clear in school when you walk into a class that is classified as the lowest performing class, that those kids know that they're classified that way, and they experience that from the people around them, whether it's their peers, whether it's teachers. And typically you'll hear rhetoric like, that's the last class, they won't be able to do that level of rigor or that kind of content. And you'll see that teachers scale down the level of rigor that they teach these kids because they already have a prevailing belief about their ability. And that might be true to some extent, but what you'll then see is that teachers aren't pushing the kids or challenging the kids to the next level because they're limited by this belief. And what you then see translated into student outcomes is a common, this phenomenon called learned helplessness, where a student, their whole life essentially gets left behind, and they have their whole experience or their relationship with education in the way that it is set up, is that education is something that they struggle with. It's something that they fail with. They're consistently told that they fail through their examination results. So they develop a phenomenon where they don't even try, because if they failed their whole life, what's going to make a difference if I try now? I'm not going to succeed. So why should I even bother learning? Why should I even bother paying attention in class when I'm just going to fail anyway? So you see this vicious cycle occur, and it's quite a common occurrence.
And what about the parents? When you spoke to parents, were they ever embarrassed about the fact that their kids were in the weaker class?
Yeah, I think it depends on the kind of community that you're in. I'm not a parent personally, but I have a younger brother who's in the public school system. And when he got into secondary school, he started off in the quote unquote last class. And personally, as someone who's involved in education, I knew that his full potential in school wasn't going to be realized because he would be disadvantaged. And I personally did not want him to be in that last class. And I think that parents don't want their children to be ranked in the last class. But I think in the communities that we work in, Teach for Malaysia, low-income communities where there may be parents who themselves commonly did not receive an education, aren't literate, they kind of just accept it as, oh, my kid or my child isn't academically inclined, and that's, you know, just what it is. That's just how it is.
And do you foresee some teething problems, perhaps, once this directive is actually carried out next year?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's to be expected, right? And I think that just because there are teething problems doesn't mean we shouldn't go through with the implementation of the policy. I've heard that some schools have already started this policy in the past 2 years or so. But at this point in time, everyone secretly knows how the classes are ranked, even though it's not explicitly stated anywhere. And so you may see that in some schools. I think we will need to see a change in our national consciousness of what we believe about education. But until we can shift students, teachers, parents, and society at large, shift our mindset about what we believe the purpose of education is and the importance of exam results, until we can shift that, I think we're still going to see a struggle with it. I think you're going to see parents that might object to this and may demand for their schools to implement a streaming policy. And also teachers, I don't know, are fully equipped to be able to differentiate to the level that they need to in a non-streaming environment. And so if you imagine that for decades and for their entire career, teachers have taught in an environment where they have students have been streamed, they might not have developed the level of differentiation, the skill level needed to differentiate in non-streamed classrooms.
So what would you say are the next natural steps to take to sort those teething problems out and to bridge the learning gaps that we're seeing after decades of academic segregation?
Yeah, I think some things will naturally occur. So a natural phenomenon that we can expect to occur is that the students who have been classified the lowest performing, if they are sitting in mixed ability classes and classes where students are on track and they're higher performing, you will naturally begin to see those students who are lower performing increase in their ability because their peers will hold them accountable to that. There will be this positive peer pressure that will occur, and the expectations of what the class will be able to achieve will naturally raise the academic outcomes in general. I think in terms of providing what can be done in terms of the implementation level is that I think that we need to provide support with an emphasis on the students who struggle the most. So typically what happens now in the streaming system is that kids in the highest performing classes will typically have a lot of access to additional classes provided by the school, and kids who are classified, there's this terminology called GALUS, which stands for like GAGALULUS, borderline kids, they also have a lot of access to additional support in schools. But I think what we need to do now is place a heavy emphasis on the kids who struggle the most. And by investing in those kids and seeing them be able to work effectively in non-streamed classrooms, that's an additional level of support that we need to emphasize on. And obviously, in terms of how do we best support our teachers, right? What will potentially happen is we'll eliminate streaming and we will see teething problems arise, and typically we might blame teachers for not being effective at their jobs. So how do we then support teachers with training? How do we support them with strategies and the additional support that they need in order to be able to support non-streamed classes? So I would say that those are two key things that we would need to focus on.
Soon Sing, thanks for joining us. That was Chan Soon Sing, the program director at Teach for Malaysia, commenting on the MOE's plans to formally end streaming in schools starting from January onwards. We've been asking for your thoughts. How do you feel about this announcement? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. So on Twitter, Amirul Helmi says, streaming done smart isn't necessarily a bad thing. Some kids need more attention from teachers. It's inter-school rankings that was problematic. And I don't disagree. I do think that it's not a secret that some kids will need more attention and guidance, more time. But I do think the segregation was always problematic. And the common stigma feels like too strong a word to use, and yet it is also somewhat appropriate. I do think that there is a stigma attached to you in school when you are seen to be not performing that well.
And there might actually be an opportunity there for the more academic kids to be able to teach the less academically capable children, and even reinforce what these more, well, quote-unquote, smarter ones already know.
Captain Arriva says, my son's primary school has already been practicing this non-streaming. It turned out to be really good. The only issue is that the brilliant kids feel that everything is slow in class, as the teachers are forced to ensure everyone gets the same attention. A large number of parents were against it in the beginning. I am happy that the headmistress forced it through. Yvonne says, yes to the end of streaming students. Besides the discrimination against academically weaker students, there's also the putting academically excellent students who might not be good team workers on a pedestal. What is the logic for this? Education should ultimately produce productive members of society for modern society, emphasize cooperation, empathy, and critical thinking. And on that note, critical thinking is exactly what we're going to be talking about after the 8 o'clock news. But in the meantime, do keep those messages coming. Streaming is no longer going to be part of public schools next year. How do you feel? WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.